In chapter 2, beginning with verse 19, "Then the men of the city said to Elisha," please notice the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren. "And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elijah, which he spoke. And turn over to chapter 4. Read the first 7 verses. 2 Kings 4. "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my 2 sons to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your son shall live on the rest." Lord, as we continue through your word, Lord, we look to you. Lord, you say your word is spirit and is life. And Lord, we ask that you download your spirit and your life into us. We need you, Lord, and we turn to you. We ask that you would have your way. We ask, Lord, that you would be exalted and manifest yourself to every soul here, Lord. That you would stir up the gifts that you've given them, and Lord, they'd operate in you according to your will, according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, as we continued starting the book of 2 Kings, we seen Elijah and how Elijah came to the end of his life. Elijah being with him. And really testing Elijah, you know, as he walked on, he knew that the Lord was coming for him. He knew it. The sons of the prophets knew it. Elijah knew it. And he's walking on, kind of just cruising around, going through Bethel and Jericho and then crossing the Jordan. But as he was walking, he told Elijah, why don't you just stay here? Why don't you just stay here and I'm going to go on to Bethel, testing him. Why don't you just stay here? As he refused, he declined, I'm sticking with you. Why don't you stay here as I go on to Jericho? And he refused, I'm sticking with you. As the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you. And finally he says, you know, I'm going to go over to the other side of the Jordan. Why don't you just stay here? He said, no way, man. I'm sticking with you. So he crossed the Jordan. He did a miracle, you remember. He took off his mantle and touched the water and it opened hither and thither. And they walked on dry ground across the Jordan bed, came to the other side. And Elijah asked Elijah, what shall I do for you? What do you want, man? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want everything that God has for me. Everything. Don't hold back. That's a hard thing, yes. But if you see me when the Lord takes me, it'll be granted to you. Sure enough, his eyes were glued upon him. And the Bible says that a chariot of fire from heaven came down like a whirlwind and scooped up Elijah, his mantle, you know, staying with Elijah and him going into heaven one of the only two. Last week I said there's only three people in the Bible that never died. I meant that ascended into heaven, which would be Elijah, Enoch, and Jesus. But Elijah and Enoch never died. The Lord scooped them up, took them to heaven. Now Elijah, sitting there watching Elijah disappear, ascend into heaven, starts back. As he starts back, the Bible tells us that he now has the mantle has been passed on to him, his cloak, you know, the scarf, cloak, outside covering of his clothing. He's got Elijah's garment, and he uses it. He comes to the Jordan, and he says, you know, he rolls it up, touches the Jordan, strikes the water, the Bible says. Strikes the water, and he says, in the name of the God of Elijah, part. And sure enough, the water parts. First miracle of Elijah. We see several. There's three in this the remainder of this chapter alone. Four in chapter four. But we're going to look at a few miracles. As he crosses over the Jordan, the Bible tells us, if you look in verse 15, chapter 2, that the sons of the prophets witnessed him. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah. They came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Witnessing the same miracle Elijah did, they established that, hey, he's received Elijah's authority, the spiritual authority. He's established, he's got the power. So they recognize it and confessed it. The Bible says that they came to him and they said, you know, let's send a search party to see if Elijah is up in the mountains, you know, taken from the Lord, or taken in this chariot. Maybe the Lord dropped him off somewhere in the mountain, you know. And he said, no, we're not going to send any. But they insisted. Don't you care about him? You're kind of like putting a little guilt trip on him. What if he's up there? You know, what if he's got a broken limb or something? He's hanging on a cliff. So he's okay, go send him. So they sent a big search party, and they came back and said, nope, we couldn't find him. He said, I told you not to go. So he goes on. As he goes to Jericho, the men of the city come to him, and they present their problem to him. They, we're going to come back to this one. He does a miracle of healing the waters. That's the first passage we read. The third miracle recorded in chapter 2 is really one that sets forth God's judgment. If you look in verse 23, well, the end of 23, these youths, you know, teenagers, young adults, they came against Elijah, started teasing them, you know, like a little gang here. Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. Why don't you go up like Elijah went up, you bald-headed, bald guy? they're mocking him. So Elijah, in verse 24, he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. They really, they were, you know, setting forth their mockery against God by not recognizing Elijah's authority or position. So, setting forth God's judgment, he does this. But, you know, what do we take from it is, you know, we should watch our bald jokes. there's someone who works with us at the shop, and, you know, I'm not teasing him. He's one with his baldness. Okay? But he says that, you know, He never grows his hair. He's got a few, like, nubs or whatever, and he cuts it real short. He cuts it down completely. He shaves his head. But he told us the other day, he says, I got this one hair that grows from my forehead. He says, I call it my bane. But we better watch our bald jokes, you know. Here he came against the youths and their mockery, setting forth a judgment upon them. In chapter 3, the narrative goes on to talk about the king. You know, this first section in 2 Kings talks about Elijah and his miracles all the way up into chapter 8. But here's a little interlude about the king. Jehoram in chapter 3. Jehoram was Ahab's son. His brother reigned for 2 years. His brother died. Now Jehoram takes the throne. He's a wicked king also, the Bible tells us. Does evil in the sight of the Lord. But he takes down the high places of Baal. He doesn't worship Baal. So it's almost like he's not completely evil, but he's evil. He's wicked. He, you know, the Bible tells us before when his brother took the throne that Moab rebelled. I don't know if you remember, but here Moab's revolting. Since the days of King Omri, the Bible tells us that they paid tribute to Israel. They refused to pay any more tax. I'm not going to give you any more. Where the Bible tells us they used to give them 100,000 lambs and 100,000 goats skins. We're not paying you no more. So Jehoram gets the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom, and they make an alliance, and we got to go after them. Obviously, they were all in on it. So we got to go after them to recover our taxes, our tribute. So the Bible tells us as they, you know, put together this coalition, they headed towards Moab. And as they did, the Bible says that they wandered through the desert. 7 days later, they come to a place. Well, look at verse 13. I'm sorry. Catch you up. They wandered through the desert. They come to a place where they got no water, them and nor their animals, so they're complaining. Would the Lord bring us out here to die? Jehoshaphat, the godly king, says, isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire the word of the Lord from? So they, someone says, yeah, Elijah's here. He's the one that washed Elijah's hand, or he waited on Elijah. Elijah, you know, Elijah's around. We can get him, and he's a true prophet of God. So they bring Elijah. In verse 13, it picks up. Elijah said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? He didn't like him. Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. You know, Baal. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. He says, you know, he says, no, I'm not going to go to Baal prophets. He's kind of confessing. Why should I go to them? They don't have truth. You know? So he's saying, you know, we're here in this position. We're in a peril. We're going to die. Us and our three kings in the army. We don't have any water. We're in the desert. Elijah said to him in verse 14, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you or see you. I wouldn't even be talking to you, Jehoram. You scumbag. He's an evil king. You know, he come from evil parents, and they wreak so much false idolatry and worship in the nation. And him looking at him, I wouldn't be talking to you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat and him being with you. But he goes on in verse 15. Now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. He was upset. That's what I believe. He was so angry. I'm frustrated. Yet he's asking for a word of the Lord. Bring me, let me, you know, have some music. Let's worship a little. Settle our hearts. So that the word of the Lord can come forward and be received. Here, a musician steps forward and plays a little bit. And he settles down and hears from the Lord. And the Lord tells him, in verse 17, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you and your cattle and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight. It's a little thing. God can do anything. This is a small thing for him to do. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. He'll bring water. He was instructed to dig, told him to dig ditches, for the water's going to come. There's not going to be any wind or rain. It's just going to come, like one of these monsoons, you know, out of nowhere. Fill the desert. Dig some trenches so that you can hold the water, so you can drink and, you know, give your animals water. And also, you know, you will wipe out the Moabites. Went on to instruct, but go ahead and go to every one of their cities, tear down their fortresses. wipe them out thoroughly. So they do. They dig trenches. The next morning, the Bible says, as the sun rises, the Moabites are looking, and they see the water is in the valley, and the reflection of the water and the sandstone around it in the sun, of the rising sun, looked like blood in the valley. So the Moabite says, hey, look, blood in the valley. The Israelites, they're killing one another. Let's go take their spoil. They were deluded. You know, so they went out there, and Israel attacked them and destroyed them, came against the Moabites. The last verse in the chapter, the king of, in verse 27, the king of Moab, in verse 27, he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and he offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. He offered him to Chemosh, as he sacrificed his own son. The false idolatry worship. It was so disgusting. Israelites were so grossed out. It says a great indignation against Israel, so they departed from. They kind of just walked away from the battle. This is disgusting. Later on in 2 Kings, we find the kings of Israel sacrificing their own son as they continue in their decline, moral decline. Now, if we back up to the miracle of the healing of the spring, the second miracle, as the men of Jericho came to Elijah in verse 19 of chapter 2. They said to him, please notice the situation. The city is plenty. We got a good city. Look at it. It's picturesque. Look at the layout. You know, it's beautiful. It's pleasant. But we don't have any water. We're having a drought. And the ground is barren. We got a serious water problem. Kind of like Los Angeles, you know. We got a serious water problem, Elijah. Can you help us out? The water that we rely upon is poisoned. It's not good. The water is bad. The ground is barren. So Elijah says, bring me a new bowl and put some salt in it. So they brought it to him. And he went to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day according to the word of Elijah, which he has spoke. You know, we're looking at the miracles of Elijah and really how they, I entitled the message, Water and Oil, as we look at these miracles and what they really represent. You know, first of all, it's a miracle that God would save us and that we would be born again. It's a miracle. And in that very parallel, this connects. Here, you know, the men of the city came. The water is bad. You know, the water, kind of indicative. Jesus said, you know, it's not what you eat and go into the stomach and eliminate that defiles a man, but it's what springs forth out of your heart, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, your own depraved, sinful heart. But Jesus talks like it springs forth like water. You know, and here, the problem that the men, you know, Jericho were experiencing is they had bad water. They had poison water, bad water that caused and created barrenness. And they came to Elijah. Can you help us out? You know, they needed, their condition was they had bitter water. It wasn't good. It flowed from their own heart. Ezekiel chapter 4, the Bible tells us of a prophecy where the prophet says there's this water, this river, stream flowing from the throne of God. And it heals everything it touches. Elijah, can you help us out? You know, it's like, it gives you the picture of us coming before the Lord. You know, we're limited to our own ancestors and descendants and familiar spirits and who we are and our own power and our own sin, our sinful nature. Lord, can you heal me? Can you change me? Can you take this bad spring that's flowing out of my innermost being that brings forth poison and barrenness, sin, evil. And can you heal it, Lord? Elijah, bring me a new bowl. Put some salt in it. He goes to the source of the water, the spring. You got to go to the source. You know, you can dink around with the stream. That's what we do sometimes. See, we try to improve our life. You know, some exercise, take some classes, get some education, get discipline, get on the right diets. But unless the source of the stream is healed, it's like maybe trying to clean up a little water in the bad stream. But he goes to the source of it, puts this bowl of salt at the source, at the fountainhead. And the Bible says that the water is healed. New water coming forth now. That's what Jesus said. You know, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And I will give to him living water that will spring forth from your innermost being. Life. If you come to me, he said to the woman of the well, if you knew the gift that I have, you would ask me for water. And I would give you a water that brings life, living water. You drink of this water, you'll thirst again. You drink of the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. The Bible says that Elijah healed the water, and the water was healed, changed. Good water coming out now. There was a change that was wrought and took place according to the word of the Lord. It gives us a picture of changed lives. But the true change that comes, the source of the water, really coming before the Lord, bringing your heart, the truth of our condition. We have need. Man, we got barrenness. We got a true water problem. I got a bad heart. You know, the confession, the truth. The Bible says that in Jeremiah, we mentioned it last week, God speaking through Jeremiah, you know, the people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, turned from the true source of the true good water, the water that brings life, and they've dug for themselves cisterns that are cracked that won't even hold water. You know, keep dinking around trying to clean up the stream. Keep dinking around in your own power and your own self-righteousness. And it doesn't even hold water. You can't live. You know, one of the greatest arguments, you know, against an atheist, man can't create life. Only God creates life. And only God can give us life, a new nature, which he demands and requires from all of us. He desires that we be healed from our heart. You know, to come to him with our thirst, to be honest. Ask him to heal the bad waters. Confess, hey, the barrenness. There's no fruit. I need help. Can you help me? James, talking about the inconsistency of living in the spirit and in the flesh, he said, Ken, does a spring send forth water, you know, both bitter and good from the same opening? Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, when he talked about, you'll know them by their fruit. You know, a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. If someone's not born again and regenerated by the Spirit of the Lord, they cannot produce spiritual life and fruit. Jesus elaborated over and over. Then in chapter 12, after he specified in 7, he says, make the tree good. And then the fruit will be good. Come to me and drink. Be honest with him. Lord, I can't do it. It's true. I don't have the spring or the heart or the life capabilities. I'm limited to being like my parents. I'm going to be just like my parents. I don't care how many times I say, I'm not going to be like my parents. It's in my genes. It's the familiar spirit that governs me. Unless my water and fountain and spring be touched and healed and changed, unless I be born again, I can't change. This picture coming to him. You know, the new bowl. Take some salt. Salt in Mark says, have salt in yourselves. You know, bring the new bowl. Jesus said, you pour the new wine in a new wineskin. It's a new work and a new thing. It's a different thing. It's a new heart. It's new water that comes forth from your innermost being. And only Jesus can supply it. He's the supplier of the living water. Can you help me? I'm barren. I need life. I mean, hey, the outside looks okay. He says, you know, the pleasant. Jericho's pleasant. And we got a pretty good place. Everything's going, seems like hunky-dory. But the inside, there's poison. I need help. I need healing. The Bible says Elijah heals the fountain, the spring, the source. And good waters come forth from this day forward, he said. Up until this day, healed it to this day. According to, I guess there's a spring over in Israel, you know, called by Elijah's name. But here, depicting, you know, a sinner with the problem that we all have, coming to be healed and touched. It's a miracle. To be born again is a supernatural miracle. Elijah performed all these miracles, but this picture, this illustration of healing the water, the source of the water, the source of the life, can only be done by him, to come to him. And we go into chapter 4, after the miracle of the water, we got the miracle of the oil. Another picture of him moving. The widow, the Bible tells us, had a great debt. Her husband died. Left her a debt. It wasn't her fault. Now, rabbis tell us that her husband was Obadiah. Obadiah, remember back in 1 Kings, he was the one that, he was a good man. He just showed up. He stashed 100 prophets and fed them. 50 in a cave. He hid them from Jezebel. The Bible tells us that, you know, if in fact it was Obadiah, it probably was, I don't know. But if it was, that's how he incurred the debt. He was doing what was right. You know, he, you know, it took a lot of food to feed 100 hungry prophets, sustaining them. So he dies. She's left a widow. Now she's got this debt, and she's being threatened by her creditors in a legal way. In the law, the Bible says if you get in a debt, you can't pay it. Your children can be sold into slavery until the year of Jubilee. And then every 7 years, they would be released, but to recover some of the financial loss for the creditor. So she, being threatened to have her children taken away, she only has two sons, comes to Elijah, and Elijah asks her, she got a problem. You know, she has financial insolvency, bankrupt. You know, talk about financial problems. You know, Detroit is the king of financial problems. We have more foreclosures and bankruptcies in Detroit. On the front page, the creditors and, you know, the mortgage institutions now are holding back loans. We have serious financial problems. And yet, what does she do with her problem? She comes to the Lord. She came to Elijah, and Elijah didn't have money. She didn't go to Elijah because of his money. She came to the Lord. The right place to come with our problems, our plights, you know, our financial difficulties. She has a great need. Elijah asks her, what shall I do for you? Back when Jesus in the Gospel of Luke was came across Bartimaeus, he was blind. Bartimaeus came up to him. That's what Jesus asked him. You know, what shall I do for you? What do you want? It's like an offer of grace from God. What do you want? What can I do for you? If you bring your problem to the Lord, what can I do for you? You really got to bring it to him. She said, you know my problem. He said, what do you have? I just got a jar of oil. Just one jar of oil at home. two sons and a jar of oil. You know, bring what you have to the Lord. It's kind of like the miracle of the multiplication of the fishes, where the boy brings the, you know, few fish, he multiplies it. Here, she brings, or she informs him, I got a jar of oil, just one jar of oil. But this offer to bless, it's an offer of grace. What can I do for you? It pictures, again, us. And, you know, not only limited to financial problems, but spiritual. Spiritual insolvency. See, we're all, again, spiritually bankrupt. Again, we all have this heart of poison water that we're born with. And it's not our fault. We were born with this debt. And it was, you know, incurred to us. Now we're responsible for it. And here, we have this debt passed on from our ancestors, you know, all the way back from Adam, of the sinful nature that we are responsible for. What can I do for you? I need help. I need a healing. Bring your empty vessel to him to be filled. It's basically a picture of the flowing oil of the Holy Spirit filling empty vessels upon, you know, grace offered and turning to him. He's the supplier of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. Jesus is the one who grants the Holy Spirit to us. And he gives it him to us by request, if we ask in sincerity. And we come to him, accept his offer, the debt is canceled. I was kind of playing with that, trying to make everything fit. But the truth is, there's a picture here. The oil that flows, the Holy Spirit. The water that's poisoned, that needs healing. And us. And all wrought and accomplished only through a supernatural miracle. And we must turn to him. You know, to stop the poison of the bitter waters, the poison water of our family line. I can't do that. To outgrow the limitations and the restrictions that are imposed to me, I'm destined to be boxed into. You know, I can't break out of on my own. But to come to him in truth. I need him. To turn to him. To ask him, Lord, I need a healing. I need you. I need your heart. I need your spirit. In truth, it's more than an offer of grace. You know, the Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ, cancels out Adam's nature, the Bible tells us in Romans. He gives us what he wants to give us according to his will. And we're to, you know, step up and ask him. We see these series of miracles and they continue. Elijah accomplishes, you know, quite a few, and we're going to concentrate on them next week and then get into the back, the king's reign and duration and history. Let's stand. You know, disappointment and discouragement, hardship can keep us from coming to him. But the very thing that God's may have allowed to bring us to him shouldn't be the barrier to keep us from him. We're to call upon him, rely upon him, depend upon him. He loves that. The widow went to Elijah. Elijah was penniless. And yet God, you know, rectified, provided, solved her problem, brings the remedy, meets our need. The Bible tells us, exceeds abundantly. His grace is more than sufficient for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, do give us a heart and ears to hear and receive what you're trying to tell us, Lord. Your offer of life, new life, that can only come from you, the fountain of living waters. Lord, do change our hearts, Lord. New heart. Cause us to realize and see how short we fall. Cause us to own our condition before you, Lord, and to realize how we're trying to filter the water ourselves, our feeble attempts. Cause us, Lord, not to fall short of what you have for us. Heal our water, Lord. Bring fruit. Heal this barrenness. Bring life. Your spiritual gifts. Lord, you told us, Jesus, that you and your Father would manifest yourself to those who believe and obey. Lord, we desire you. We ask that you would spring forth out of our innermost being. And Lord, take control, take possession of what belongs to you. The debt's been canceled. You paid it, Lord, but we belong to you. We ask these things in the precious name because of your shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.